changing hand. Yes, I'm gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Unchanging hand. Oh, let's sing about it now. Well, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Sing it. And naught of earth anew can stand. Oh, feel your hopes on things eternal, and hold to God's unchanging. And all let's sing about it at church. Well, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Are we? Yes, we'll hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, feel your hopes on things eternal, and let's hold unchanging hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that's the only thing worth holding on to? Is His unchanging hand. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on a cold, cold, cold Saturday night? What we've been looking for. It's here. I don't like it a bit, do you? Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord, though. God is so good to us. He is so wonderful. He is so precious. He is so great. None of us could ever think of enough words to describe how good He's been to us. He's the most wonderful thing that ever happened in your life. I mean that. He is. He's the most wonderful thing that ever happened in any of our lives. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight? You love Him with all your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Changing hand. Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Let's hold to God's unchanging hand. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We'll let you be seated for a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. First of all, we want to let you know that there is a new church CD available for you over in the library. If you'd like to pick one of those up, looks like there's about 12 songs on there. Got some good singers on here. Can't help but notice I ain't on none of them. Just aggravating you. Brother Justin doing Chain Breaker. That's a great song. Brother Harry, You're My Hiding Place. That's a great song. Brother Joel Brown, Champion of Love. Brother Joel Yance, Blessing on Me. Well, just some great songs. If you'd like to pick that up, $5. Over in the library, they have those available for you tonight. So remember that. Now, let me make this announcement. This is a chance to brag on some people, and we're going to take just a minute to do that. God bless you all. We archive the services. They are such a blessing to us. Please tell the brothers on all the cameras. Now, brothers, this is for you. All the brothers on the cameras, they do an awesome job following Brother Donnie. And I... That's probably not the easiest thing to do, but they want you to know that you do an awesome job in following Brother Donnie. They bless us so much getting the scriptures up there. May God give them special grace for their sacrifice to do those things. Amen. The word is so wonderful. You are a big part in getting it out. Thank you so much. Amen. Give those guys a nice hand tonight if you will. Amen. Praise the Lord. And let's just go all around the room. The guys that run the sound, the guys upstairs that's doing all the work they do, the guys back here, these wonderful musicians, bless their hearts. We are a blessed congregation. Amen. We are. We're a blessed congregation, and we're not all of it, but I am so glad to be part of it, aren't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Now let's look at our prayer request tonight. Let me make this announcement also. Brother Bert Gravely, God bless you, Brother Bert. You and your family back in this service with us tonight. We so appreciate that family. Just been praying for them. The Lord will just wrap them up in His arms and hold them real tight. I believe He's doing that. Don't you, Brother Bert? God bless you. Appreciate you folks tonight so much. This is from Australia. Sister Esther says, "It is with great sadness that I inform you that my sister-in-law has passed away. The Lord has done according to His will, and we accept that. Please, may you remember her family in prayer, especially her husband and young child. I thank you for your prayers. May God bless you." So we certainly can continue to pray for that family, that during this time that the Lord would just be mindful of them. I want to pray for Sister Yvetta Collins, who has a fever, unable to be in the service tonight. We want to pray for her. Sister Linda Jablonski would like for the church family to pray for a very special unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about. Also, little Eddie has strep throat, needs healing tonight. Also pray for Traveling Mercy for her mother, Joanne Tessa, going to Maryland for the holidays. So let's pray for Traveling Mercy for not only her, but a lot of you will be traveling. We just pray that God will protect every one of you. I want to pray for the Pilkington family in Coburn, Virginia. They are facing eviction. The husband lost his job, and the wife only gets to work 24 hours a week. So let's pray for a financial miracle in their lives. God is certainly able to meet their needs, and we just commit them to the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Jack Strader, who had eye surgery. I pray for a complete healing. Also pray for Brother Keith Strader and his sister who are taking care of Brother Jack. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. Sister Judy Davis says, "Please remember my mother, Sister King, in prayer. She has been diagnosed with breast cancer." So we certainly want to pray for Sister King that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother George gave me this note in regard to Sister Rachel Hamblin, has a kidney stone and a lot of pain tonight. So let's pray for her healing. I also want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins. a lot of pain in his back, just very, very severe. So we want to pray for him tonight that the Lord would just be mindful of him. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs tonight, how many of you know God is bigger than whatever our needs are? We believe that, don't we? Could we stand tonight? Let's sing that little chorus again one more time, if you will. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's sing it, if you will, tonight. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Church, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Unchanging hand. Praise the Lord. Brother Brad Yontz, come tonight if you will. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord tonight. Appreciate you, Brother Brad. God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again, Lord, for the privilege we have to come in your house. Lord, we just want you to feel welcome and walk up and down these aisles, Lord. Every hand that was raised, you know the need of each heart, Father. These requests, I hold my hand, Lord. They're expecting a miracle, Father. Lord, you can move for each financial problem, each healing, Lord. And may you just move, Father, in this service. Lord, I pray you may take full control. Bless Brother Louis, the song service, Lord, any special songs. Anoint our pastor, Father, he comes out and speaks to us the words of life. May we receive strength for our journey, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brad. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. I didn't have it written down, but if you will, please remember my nephew in prayer, Robbie Garland. He has a very much of a need. For he and his family live over in Roanoke, Virginia, and just won't go into a lot of details, but they're just seeking the will of the Lord for their lives. And if you would just remember Robbie Garland and his family in prayer. Let's sing a song tonight. See those clouds? They're the ones he's coming back in. How many of you are looking forward to being caught up to meet him in the air? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's worth fighting for, isn't it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. If you don't want to miss the Lord's appearing on that morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, then make your preparation, secure your soul's salvation, and keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. See those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth, again, see those clouds, they're the ones we'll join the saints in. On that morning when our body change begins, sing that chorus again. Oh, see those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. Christ returns to earth again. begins.
Twinkling of an eye, it'll all be over.
Oh, that's the truth.
And my friend, it will be too late to pray.
Oh, be sure
the time is nearing, the hour of His appearing.
Hallelujah, glory!
When the bridegroom,
yes, sir,
is gonna catch His bride away.
Oh, let's sing about it. Oh, see those clouds, they're the ones He's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns, earth again. Saints in on that morning when our body change. Sing that second verse for me again, if you will.
In the twinkling of an eye, it'll all
play the
be
song.
Over.
Can't hear you.
And my friend, it will be too late to pray. Be sure the time is nearing.
Hallelujah.
The hour of His appearing. When the bridegroom, He's gonna catch His bride away.
Hallelujah. Oh, see those clouds, they're the ones He's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns again. See those clouds, they're the ones we'll join the saints in. On that morning when our body change begins.
Yes, on that morning when my body change begins.
Amen. We got a couple of specials tonight. Sister Chloe Martin is here. She has a song. Also, Sister Tamika Brown, I believe, has a song. Those two sisters will come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. You can be seated. Let's sing a little chorus tonight while they get ready to sing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I reckon the rest of you are going to put yours out. How many of you going to let your light shine? Hey, it's cold outside. It ain't cold in here. It's cold outside. It ain't cold in here. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, Jesus gave me my light. He told me to let it shine. Jesus gave me the light, and He told me to let it shine. Jesus gave me the light, told me to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they sing.
greater than the great, so much wiser than the wise. It's in you that I find my hope, and I find healing. Your love is deeper than the deep, Lord, you're strong when I am so weak. It's in you that I confide. Lord, you're the place where I can hide. You are my heart's desire, and you deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, yes, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Lord, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no as I praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and all the honor. Oh yes, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no There is no one else like you.
Amen. You appreciate you singing tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Time to go on into the service. I'm certainly looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Know you are. I'm going to pray for Brother Donnie tonight, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's sing a little chorus together. Jesus, draw me close. Is that your desire? Amen. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Time, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Oh, let the world around me, let it fade away. Jesus,
again with all your heart, let's sing it. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Make it your prayer now, Lord, to you. You, Lord Jesus. I trust that's your desire tonight. We've not just come to worship God. We've come to obey what He said. You know, a lot of the churches in the age that we live in, they have two different kinds of services on Sunday morning. They have contemporary worship, they call it, or they use a different name for it. And then they have the regular type of worship. But I wonder how many of all of them even obey what they hear. It's the same with us. We're not just coming to worship. We want to obey what He had to say. That's actually a greater worship than this is. We can do all of this and it'd be just as vain as it can be. We're blessed to have a desire to obey His Word. St. John 1:1. I want to speak to you tonight on the Logos and the Rhema. In the galleries. And I hope you come to have church. Hope you're not doing your Christmas list and thinking about Thanksgiving next week. And I hope we've come to have church tonight. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And what you notice now, John was a real apostolic preacher. He didn't say them. Him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now let's read verses 4 and 5 again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. How many would like to be remembered as we pray tonight? Hold your requests there in your heart. Heavenly Father, as we approach your great throne, your august presence, we count it such a privilege that we would be allowed to call you Father. Lord Jesus, how we thank you for the light of God that has illuminated our paths. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have called us to yourself, separated us by your love, and sanctified us into a holy, consecrated walk. We don't walk this walk by legalism. We don't walk it by fear. But we have been set apart by your divine love. For that we are grateful. Lord Jesus, we believe that we are attributes of your thinking, which was in your mind before there was even a world. And we've been breathed into by the breath of God and given us life. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. We're a needy people. We know that. And Father, you saw all the needs of the people that raised their hands here tonight in the visible audience. Probably many, many more that's streaming that had their hands as well. I pray that you'd minister to your people tonight. Help me to get out of the way, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let me just refresh your memory. There are two primary Greek words that are used to define in Scripture the word that we call as word. The first being the logos, primarily and principally the entirety of the written word and the essence of the person of the living word. And then, of course, the rhema, which is the word that God speaks to us in season, that which we have need of in a particular time to when Satan cannot be able to access it. As we know, Satan can quote the Logos. Matter of fact, he can quote it better than most of us can, I'm sure. But he never has the ability to take rhema and make it alive. Now, the word itself, you know, it's kind of tricky here in John 1 and 1 when John begins to write this. But the word was actually never made. But the word existed eternally. It was in the essence of the attribute of God. A word is that which even we use, that we express our feelings, our mind, our will, things that we want to do, things that we want to accomplish. And it is a word, something by the way that we talk, or we will put it down on paper or in a card, and it is our word. So it is something, a medium or a channel by which we use it. Now, in the beginning was the word, because God, of course, spake to us by the word, which is his son. Now, this is not speaking about Jesus the man, which is the incarnate word. But this is before the work of incarnation. Now, Jesus the man, the servant of God, was that which came into existence when the work was made of flesh, and of course through the creation and through a virgin. But when John saying in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, he was saying that our words are the concept of our mind, or the reflection of our will, so is the word, which became Jesus later, the concept of God. It was by him that God made all things. From him comes the very expression of the Father's will. Now, this is why that people can read the Logos and totally miss the complete program of God. Because it's not just written on the lines itself, but the mystery of God is what's on the lines, plus the concept of God that's hid between the lines, which can come only by divine revelation. Now, we know that we can read the Logos and memorize it, and we can actually share with one another the Logos, and God may give you a revelation or a rhema word from God, and you might share that with someone else, but you cannot give someone else that same word. It just won't have the same impact on them that it had on you. Now, notice what John says in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word had an existence before the world. The Word was in existence before the Word was incarnate. Now, eventually, if the Lord will help me, I'd like to bring this and show you that actually as God brought Christ the Word into existence in stages from the eternal effigy or the eternal glory of God, even so God has brought every other attribute, the sons and daughters of God, through the same process. The difference being that you bypass a theophany and he comes straight through theophany, no, then he'd existed before. But before he became the incarnate Word, he was the Word in the fullness of its existence, and yet the Word was not created. In the beginning was the Word, but the Word came into the form by which God could begin to express it. And this is why John reiterates the same thing that Moses says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And your John uses the same concept because it was not John's concept, no more than it was Moses, but it was actually God's concept himself. You follow me so far? Now, in the beginning was the Word. So the Word had an existence before the world was created. Now, your John is not speaking about Jesus the man. Now, listen carefully. In the beginning was the Word. Now, what was with God was not Jesus the man, because Jesus the man was the incarnation of that perfect Word made flesh. So, in the beginning was the Word. But if you would go back, and I would be able to go back into the streams of time and through the dimensions of travel, and we would see in the beginning, we would not see an old man, which was God, and then in the beginning come this younger man, which was Jesus. That's not the way it was at all. As a matter of fact, we would not even be able to see this eternal being, which exists in the way of only supernatural eyes can see him. If we would be able to look right at him with our natural eyes, we would not even see him, because our eyes cannot declare what is only invisible. You understand? So in the beginning was the Word. So it was not the man, Jesus. But in the beginning was the Logos. Now the Logos is the very expression of all the attributes of God. But it's not the form of Logos which would become revealed years and years later, or that which would be written down. Now the Logos, of course, reveals itself in two different forms. And that which is the entirety of all of that which is written, but also the living Word. As a word reveals an invisible thought, so the living Word reveals the invisible God. Let me say that again. A spoken word reveals an invisible thought. Now, have you ever seen any of your thoughts? Have you ever seen my thoughts? Have you ever seen your wife's thoughts or your children's thoughts? No. You've never seen their thoughts, but you have seen their thoughts when they become visible as they express them in the form of matter or in the form of a recipe, or I'm going to go clean the house. And you see that invisible thought made manifest by the works that they express. So a word is an expression of an invisible thought. Then the living Word, which was Christ, is the expression of an invisible God. Now keep in mind now that we're talking about the family tree coming from the very life of God. So Jesus is simply the first attribute of sonship that comes from the eternal realm. Now, if God's going to bring other sons, He's going to bring them in the form that they will come from Logos, but they must also become a quickening, living principle, which will also be identified by the living voice of the Word. You're not just seed. You're not just Logos. You had that in you when you was actually born. But yet you lived out there in the world, done all kinds of foolish, ignorant things. Why did you do that? Because that seed was not yet quickened to become rhema by the voice of God. And we live. How do we live? We live constantly, of course, by the Logos and the admixture of the rhema word together. And we know that God gives us the Logos for doctrine, for correction, for teaching, for discipline, and we apply it to our lives. But God never intended for the Christian life to be just a Logos life. But God wants a real Holy Ghost-filled Christian life to be an admixture of a Logos life and a rhema life, to where you discipline yourself, you live your life, and you do things simply because God said it, because that's what the Logos said. But yet, when you need it, He will take that portion of the Word and drop it down in your heart and makes it so real, your own unbelief, there ain't enough devils out of hell, there ain't nothing that can ever take it from you. The devil can make our feelings, our reason, our emotion, all that. He will try to work on the Logos, but once it becomes rhema, it's absolutely a tie between you and God. It is irrefutable. It is undoubtable. It is absolutely out of Satan's reach. Let me tell you something. It ain't only out of the devil's reach. It's out of your reach. Because many times you're the greatest enemy that you've got anyhow. It ain't always the devil. It ain't always demons. It's our own flesh. It's our own way. It's our own will. And when God drops a rhema word inside of you, which is exactly what the culmination of the body change is going to be, it's going to be a rhema word from God that'll strike the entirety of the world, and the bride will hear one rhema voice and her body will be changed in a moment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now watch. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Watch verse 14 now. And the Word was made flesh. I love this word. Ginomehi, come to pass, to be done, to be fulfilled. The Word was made flesh. So the Word come to pass in the form of the incarnated Son, which was Jesus Christ. Now what I found amazing was today when I clicked on this word, it's the exact same word in St. John 1 verse 12. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God. Exact same word. As Jesus become the Word made flesh, so do the true sons and daughters of God become sons of God. So you come to pass. Hallelujah. You come to pass. Jesus come to pass. You are coming to pass. And if you haven't yet, you're fixing to, if you're a word from God. Because all of God's words come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. There come a time and you was lost without God. But God allocated a certain time for you to be born again. And if God chose a certain day under a certain preacher in a certain church, there ain't nothing going to stop that word from coming to pass. And then God had a time you was going to get the Holy Ghost. And that had to come to pass. And there was a time for you to come to the message of the hour. And that had to come to pass. And there was a time for you to walk closer and closer to God. And that had to come to pass. So I wish you'd preach with me. And God's got a time for the resurrection and the rapture. That word has to come to pass. Amen. Notice St. John 1, 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared Him. Has declared Him. Now, this is not the same word that's used many times in the word declared in the New Testament, phanerio, to make manifest. But look at the meaning of this word. To lead out, to go before, to unfold. To lead out, to go before, to unfold. Metaphorically, it is to draw out in a narrative, unfold a teaching. Wow, to unfold a teaching. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. So here Jesus came to unfold the teaching of God. Do you realize, friend, the message of the hour, it's not just a bunch of books and a bunch of tapes that we embrace, but it is brought metaphorically in the same sense to unfold the teaching of the message of the hour. It's not just do's and don'ts and well, we can't go here and we can't go there and we can't say this and we can't do that. It is to unfold the very character of God in the form of a wife. Yeah. Too many folks who sit around and, oh, I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that. They've not caught it yet. They don't know what it's all about. But to a real Holy Ghost filled believer, they are unfolding the teaching of a real wife to Christ. St. John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would have loved me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. So then here we're not talking about a one being and then another being and then another being that was there in the Godhead. But Jesus says about himself, he proceeded forth and came from. Well, where did you come from? Now you say amen to that. When Jesus said it, would it offend you if I say the same thing about me? Do you have enough revelation in your own walk with God that you could say the same thing about you? I proceeded forth and came from God. I came from the bosom of the Father. I came from God. I'm going back to God. Well, praise the Lord. Go ahead. Go ahead. Accept it. It'll bless you if you'll be able to accept it. If you're the elect of God, where do you think you did come from? You didn't come from your mama. You didn't come from your daddy. You came from the Logos, the Word. Notice he said, I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Again, St. John 16:28. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Oh my. St. John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So it wasn't an old man and a younger boy sitting up there, and light was coming off of the old man on the younger boy. But before the foundation of the world, the Logos, the Word, was in the realm of eternity. And you were there too. Except Jesus remembered it and you don't. Yet. But your word's fixing to come to pass. One day that which blocks your memory, Brother Jimmy, will be absolutely taken away, and you will walk into that paradise of God and you will remember, I've been here before. I existed here, not in body form, but I've been here before. I was here. Oh, glory. Notice how Peter addresses this now about the Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the Word of God, now this is the Logos, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the earth. Now, of course, Peter is reflecting the three stages of the earth, which Brother Ram uses in Future Home, to typify the three stages of the works of redemption in bringing the earth in. So the earth was in the water and out of the water, then it went back in the water in the antediluvian destruction and was brought out again. Remember, it was mirrored in the 6 days of creation and how God was going to work and what he was going to do. The same thing with you and I. But the earth existed before it was in the water. So it had to be an attribute of God before the water could ever cover. The darkness that covered your life, you did not become an attribute of God. Once you come out of darkness, you were already an attribute of God, and the water covers you over. Praise the Lord. And what was it that did it? By the Word of God. Oh, Brother Donnie, my mother, my grandma. It wasn't nothing new to your mama. It wasn't nothing new to your grandma. It wasn't nothing new to you. It was everything to do with him. Oh, my. Notice notice now Peter refers to the Lord Jesus. Now this is quite something. You know that Peter, after the baptism, the Holy Ghost struck his soul, and the revelation opens up to Peter, and he sees who Jesus really was. But now he had only known him as a man. He had known him as a man, the human part, until the Spirit of God quickened to him. You are the Son of the living God, he said, Peter. The things you've seen me do, and the way you've been around me, my flesh never revealed that to you. You didn't pick that up, but what you saw, you was in the meetings and you saw the prayer line. It wasn't that that done it, Peter. My Father showed you that. My Father showed you that. And you imagine Peter, once it become quickened to him, he realized we handled him. He was the Word. It was the Word that created the world. It was the Word. But remember, he doesn't call him a man. Watch him now. He says, the Word. By the Word of God, the heavens were of old, not the man. Amen. It was not the man, Christ Jesus, that created the heavens. Amen. It was the Word. Amen. It was not my man, Donnie Reagan. Your man, Terry Horn. Your man, Jim Babb. Your sisters, whatever you are. That was the attribute of God. It was the Word. It was the Word, not your man. It was not the flesh of Jesus that spoke the worlds into existence. Oh my, some of you looking at me funny. The flesh, the humanity of Jesus was not in the beginning. In the beginning wasn't the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. What Word? Every word. All words. All glory. All words of God were in the beginning. This is why you can trace your pedigree back to eternity. Get your eyes off this stinking flesh. Get your eyes off this body. This body's not what it's all about. In the beginning was you. In the beginning was your attribute. The Word, not in the beginning, was your flesh. First John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. John, are you sure this is right? That which was from the beginning? We've heard and we've seen with our eyes that which was from the beginning. We have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. The Word of life. But now remember, this W-O-R-D is not Rhema. It's Logos. Have you brought a Bible with you to church tonight? Pick it up, please. Hold it up. What are you holding? The Word of life? The Logos? How many believes it's God's Word? But it's not Rhema. Let the doctor say Monday you've got cancer in your body, or you got some kind of disease or sickness, whatever more. Human fear, just mentioned in those words, can grasp. I don't care how strong you are in the Lord. There's just something about a human being hearing certain things. But if God dropped a rhema in your heart when you're sitting there in the doctor's office, you'd be as nice and polite as a Christian ought to be. But you'd get up and walk out of there and say, praise God, I'm healed. It's done been revealed to me by the Holy Ghost that Simeon said, I ain't going to die until I see the Lord's Christ. That don't make you a smart aleck now. Don't make you rude. No, of course not. But yet you can quote the word, doctor, the Bible says, by stripes I'm healed. The doctor, the Bible said, if you abide in me and my word's abiding you, ask what you will. Doctor, the Bible said, delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of our heart. That's good. You're feeding on the Logos. You're quoting the Logos. But until God makes that word alive to you, you're still not certain or not are you going to be healed. Don't you understand, friend? What Rhema is, it's positionally placing that portion of the word in your life for that stage of the battle when you need it. We know we're healed by His stripes. Is that right? We know whatever we ask in His name will do. What do we need, though? We need the will of God pertaining to that situation. Is God going to heal me by miracle? Is God going to heal me by a surgeon's knife? Is God, how's God going to do it? A rhema word settles it all. Logos Christians, Logos people around the message set, and they listen to tapes and they hear quotes and they quote quotes and they quote word. And they're up and down and in and out and in the way and out of the way and whatever more. But a rhema Christian. One who it has been revealed to. You can pull the eyeballs out of my body easier and quicker than you can get this word out of my soul. Pull every one of my teeth with no numbing. Take my body parts out one at a time, and you'll get that out of me quicker than you'll steal this word out of my soul. Praise the Lord. You feel the same way? Let people say what they want to say. Let them do what they want to do. This is more real to us than our own flesh. Now watch, John says in verse 2, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In him, John, what was in him? In him was the embodiment of all the treasures of God. In him was the fullness of all that God was. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So God chose Christ, his expression of the word, to reveal all this that was in him. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now this ain't what you learned in school. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. This is God's mysterious math. One attribute plus another attribute plus another attribute still equals one God. 1 + 1 + 1 in God's math still leaves one. Oh, you said that don't make no sense. Really? I have a soul, a spirit, and a body. I add all three of them together and I still come up as... Don't look at me funny. You're the same way. You got a soul, you got a spirit, you got a body, and yet you're one person. Now, there's the three of you walking around. Boy, wouldn't that be awful? Boy, some of us might like it. We'd send one guy to work, the other guy going to Walmart, the other guy going to do the shopping. Man alive, that one of us get mad, we'd put him out here doing this and that and the other. Oh, Lord, I got hard enough time keeping one of me straight, much less three of me. But what did God do? God merged us all together and we are one man. When we look at this expression, this is the mystery of the Godhead. And the Godhead is not just about an eternal God. It is the Godhead. The head over a body. Oh my. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In who? Christ. Now watch, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lest it should be supposed that the Word was another person, or one of lesser character and quality. John went on to say, the Word was God. Amen. Not like God. Right. not similar to God, but the Word was God. So if you got the Word inside of you, tell me what that is. What? The Word inside of you ain't human. It's God. Logos. Sorry, friends. I mean, I thought y'all come to have church tonight. I didn't realize y'all. John is not using this now as an inferior. Of course, the Gnostics and many of those in the first century, whenever Jesus come on the earth and begin to say the term Son of God and come from God and all that, the Gnostics that started assaulting the apostolic foundation, the one true God, begin to make Jesus a lesser person. You see this two Lord doctrine that's around the message. It ain't something new. It's been around for thousands of years. Oh, you didn't know that. Yeah, the Gnostics believed it thousands of years ago. They believed that God was all the Godhead and God had all this power. And the Son of God, you know, come out of Him and He was less powerful and less God. And I don't know where in the world you got that garbage, but it didn't come from heaven. John said He was God. He was God. Amen. Now, not that the Word was a God. Or like God, but the Word was God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now watch in verse 3. All things were made by Him. Now what John wants to show us is that from the Word proceeds all things by creation. And once the Word, the world fell through Adam's sin, then the Word will come right back to the same Word of redemption and reconciliation. Now you know, of course, in the book of Genesis, whenever God brought Eve out of Adam's side, that Adam looked at her and He gave her a name, an identity by which she would be called. And it was Ishad. And that is, you are a woman or a man with a womb. So you are Isha. Once they fall, then God comes down and tells Eve, I will bring the seed back. Adam hears the voice of God. This is another sermon. But God, Adam hears the voice of God say, I will bring you back. And when Adam hears that, his faith in the reconciliatory work of the power of God, he renames his wife and calls her Hava. English, we say Eve. But the Hebrew is Hava. Thou shalt be called life. Life. What a name to call the bride. You shall be called Hava. Now wait a minute. God had just got through telling him about death. But Adam saw the promise of God. I'll not leave you in this state. I'll bring my seed. I'll bring my seed. And Adam calls her life. You are Hava. You are life because you are the mother of all living. He's not speaking now of the universality of her position of being the mother of the earth. She's going to be brought through her, will be the mother of all the living ones. You read the Hebrew and the Septuagint and you realize it is she will be the mother of all the living ones. No wonder the prophet likened the bride to be the second Eve. The second Eve is the mother of all the living ones. But the whore of Revelation 17 is the mother of all the dead ones. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh my, what did He want to do? Bring that life down to His bride and call you Hava. You are no longer dead. You are no longer in sin. You are Hava. I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. I'm trying my best to be nice because I thought I already had Saturday night studied out. I've been studying while I was gone hunting. I thought I was already ready for tonight. But when I got up this morning, the Lord started dropping a few things in me. An atomic bomb went off. I tell you what, I've been in a whirl about all day long. So y'all, you say you're talking fast. That's the way it was coming to me today. I've got to get it back to you the same way. So you better listen up. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. Things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things embraces the totality of all mass, all science, all elements, all light, all matter. Everything was made by Him. Watch in Psalms 102, verse 24. This work of creation is actually ascribed to Jehovah God. Jehovah God. Yeah, John says it was the Son. Watch. I said, oh my God, take me not in the way in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. Who? God. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Praise God. You see, there is no higher proof of omnipotence than creation. People who follow Allah, they have all kinds of do's and don'ts and doctrines and this and that and the other. But can Allah create a limb? Can Allah open blinded eyes? Can Allah take a cancer out of a person's body? Of course not, because Allah is just a figment of somebody's imagination, Muhammad. I realize this ain't popular, but I ain't concerned about popularity. I'm concerned about my wings. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Amen. Come on, church. So can the proof of omnipotence is not a bunch of people following this said doctrine. The proof of omnipotence is creation. This is why I love to see our God come among us and still create. He can come right among us and create a valve in a baby's heart that didn't have one, that was born without it a few years ago right here in this church. By prayer, a simple prayer that was made. My, you ain't got time for me to tell you all that I have seen him do right here before your eyes, because it is the proof of his omnipotence, not just because it's the largest religion in the world and all kinds of people follow it. That don't mean one thing to me. The proof of his omnipotence is his ability to create. He can take a sinner that's lost, a sinner that's so bound in sin, and be able to germ, breathe the breath of life over that germ and make a new creature out of that old man. Proof of omnipotence. Notice Hebrews 1:1. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So God wasn't taking his little boy and saying, now, son, go out there and get your little tinker toys and go out there and get a shovel and get a little thing and go on out there, son, and start making all these things. Make the universe and Pluto and Jupiter. But God made the worlds by his Son, the Word. And you don't remember it, but when that Logos Son went out of the eternal, you went out with him. For we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have one there waiting for us. It's already there waiting. Praise be to God. A house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Watch. John goes on to say in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Christ is the author or the dispenser of life. Now, even all botany life and animal life and procreation coming by, even by sex desires we know today, all life comes from him. And we know that he breathed into animals' nostrils and he became a living soul. But he's not just the author of natural life, but also, from him comes this source of eternal life. Now, in that, those attributes that pass from the eternal down into the form of the Logos, they already have eternal life, but he has the ability to give eternal life or existence to those who will receive him, even though their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. Let him drink. You want to be saved? Come on, be saved. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if they will come, he will let them go into eternal life. Praise the Lord. No, I might try to adopt this boy and that one and this girl and that one back there and say, come on, I'm going to adopt you into my family and you're going to be part of mine. And whenever we go out to eat, you'll eat with us. I'll buy you clothes. I'll buy you shoes. But will they ever really be mine genetically? Will they ever really be mine by the DNA? Absolutely not. A paper may say so. I may treat them as a son, treat them as a daughter, but yet biologically, I am not their father. Oh, glory. Can't you see why some folks can believe this word so easily? Others struggle. They struggle to go to church. They struggle to live right. They struggle with everything. And others, I mean, the hell faces them. And they just got out of my way, devil. Out of my way, devil. Why? Because they've got the DNA of God. They've got the genes of God. They've got the life of God. They've got the mind of God. They've got the very essence of God inside of them. It empowers them to live this word. St. John 14:6, Jesus says unto him, I am. The way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can say this but him. Anybody else says it, they're a liar. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let me tell you something, friend. This is not just something that we have to take somebody else's word for it. But there was folks who saw him after his resurrection. Hundreds of them. That was about 500 standing there when he ascended up into heaven. How many were standing in Jerusalem when Muhammad supposedly ascended into heaven on his white horse? Hello? Now, if God wanted at least 500 witnesses of Jesus, Muhammad needs at least 3,000 or 4,000, Johnny, since he's way lesser than Jesus. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. These men believed this. They saw him raised from the dead. That's what was going on in the book of Acts. These men were set on fire. They talked to a man who raised from the dead. Thomas stood there and said, I don't believe it. I'll tell you one thing, I don't believe it. And Jesus appeared in there and he said, Thomas, come here. Put your hand right there, boy. Put your hand right here. And Thomas looked at him and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, you believe, Thomas, because you have seen. But more blessed are they which have not seen, which is you. You've never put your finger in the hole. You've never stuck your hand in his side. And yet you believe even greater than Thomas did. Thomas had an evidence. You have got a life. Thomas used his feelings. You use revelation. Watch 1 John 5:11. Now this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 20. We know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Amen.
I don't believe in God the Son. I believe in the Son of God. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. You got three gods. But I believe in the Son of God.
Amen.
And let me pluralize it. I believe in the sons of God. St. John 17:2, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Past tense. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You mean my allocation of grace was given? My allocation of grace was given to me before the world ever began? Lord have mercy, children. These ain't my words. These are the words of God. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. Notice in verse 10, but it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You were lost. I heard a song the other day, and it was a really pretty song, gospel song. I thought, I'm going to record that song sometime. First verse, chorus, started into the second verse. I was lost, as lost to those that hung you on the tree. I'd heard the song before, but it had been a long time since I'd heard it. I began to sing it. It's my mind that began to come back, the lyrics of it. I began to sing it, and I heard a voice say, "Were you truly?" So I go over and I stop the MP3 player, and I answer the voice back, "No, sir, I was not." It went on to say, "I was as lost as those who nailed you to the tree, and I was on my way to hell." I know we've said it for years of our life. We were on our way to hell. But really, were you? Your soul was on its way to hell. You the... Ooh, Lord have mercy. I like to have a spell. I wish somebody had one with me right here tonight. Were you ever on your way to hell, Brother Larry? How in the world could you be on your way to hell when you never come from hell? You ain't going back to hell. Oh, sure, you was lost. You was out of sync with God. You would have out of flow with God. But you never was going to hell, friend. It sounds really good, and we may say it, but in reality, I never was going to hell. I never was going to hell. I can't go to hell. Hallelujah. I proceeded forth and came from God. John says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the life of Jesus by light illuminates what? Your seed. So when the Logos comes and the Word is a visible expression of an invisible thought, and the living Word was a visible expression of the invisible God, then when you come to the earth, you didn't even know you had a seed. But what was that seed? It was the living expression that God put in you. Logos, laying there, ungermatized, unregenerated, dormant. And one day God came by. One day God come by and transformed your word. Then you become quickened. Then no matter how long you live, how many battles you've got, how sick your body gets, that seed can never die again. That seed will never be dormant again. You may have ups and downs and ins and outs, and you may have to press sometime, but that seed inside of you can never die. Can I go a bit further? Let's look at a few more examples now of Logos. Acts chapter 18, verse 11. He continued there a year and 6 months, and we've been dealing with this in the book of Acts, teaching the word of God among them, speaking about Paul now. Now, a minister can teach you Logos. But he can't give you a rhema from God. Now while he's preaching, Lord have mercy, God may take that logos out of his mouth, and time it hits you, it's whoosh, and turns it into a rhema word. Others sitting right there by you and they're saying, boy, that's really good. I really enjoyed that, Brother Donnie. Boy, that was really good. But it didn't do for them what it done for you. Why? They heard the word. They heard the logos. They said, that was good. Will it help them? It will help them. But you're rolling out of here like an atomic bomb. You're just getting ready to blow up on the devil. And the devil said, back away from him. He got a rhema. You better get out of his way. And yet others walk out, oh, that was really good. Boy, I really enjoyed that. Not you. You heard the voice of God himself. Not me, not some other preacher, but God dropped that down in your heart and your battle is settled. First Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Logos of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Y'all thought that'd be remedied. 1 John 1:1, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled, the Logos of life. Now here he's referring to the living person. This is the visible expression of the invisible God. Where the written word is the visible expression of an invisible thought without the power. That's why when Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, and what did Satan use? Logos. It is written. It is written. It is written. What did Jesus fight back with? Sword of the Spirit. Rhema. Which scripture did Jesus know how to use? Sword of the Spirit. Well, I don't want to get into that right now. Notice 1 John 2:5. But whosoever keepeth his logos, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Oh, you say, well, we just need to fill our life with total rhema. We can't. Now, I don't know what the equation would be, but let's say it this way. Maybe in your life, there will be thousands and thousands of days in your walk with God that are Logos days. And you feed on it, and you listen to it, and you quote it, and you love it. Don't you love the word? Amen. There may be 100 or 75 or 50 of those days that are rhema days. But you live your doctrine, your life, your holiness, your consecration by Logos. But the capping of your life will be a rhema revelation. We won't take the rapture with the Logos just quoting the word. Did anybody say which door the devil went? I don't want to lock it behind him. Notice this. 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Logos of God abideth in you. So Ramos, come and quicken and deposit the atoms of hydrogen and nitrogen in atomic warfare, and they drop in you, and whoosh, but Logos just stays through the daily grind. Reading your Bible when you don't feel like it, praying when you don't feel like it, going to church when you don't feel like it. And there's other times you may not feel like it, and God will drop a rhema word right in your heart. Go to the house of God tonight. Boy, you get up at the head of, I don't feel like going, but God, I'm going tonight. I mean, something moved me. How many's ever had a rhema? If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I mean, you've been at least a day, you're a day old in the Lord, you've had rhemas. Oh my. Now watch in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Watch how Satan can use the Logos. Oh, you said, Brother Knight, the devil? He uses it on you all the time. When you mess up and make mistakes, Make a fool out of yourself. Come on now. Somebody say amen or ouch or oh me or something. What does the devil quote to you? Better homes and gardens? Good housekeeping? Golf Digest? The latest hunting magazine? Is that the way the devil really tries to wear you out when you brothers make a mistake or sisters? Come on, tell me. What's he quote back to you? The Word of God. He'll quote back the Scripture, quote back the message of the hour, quote back something I preach to you, some other brother, and he'll try to twist that very thing. Why? He has access to the Logos. Matthew chapter 4 verse 5. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Which of course, as you know, is in the book of Psalms. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So he quotes to Jesus, Logos. How do you fight Logos? You don't fight Logos. It takes the Spirit of God to bring a rhema word to match it up with Logos. So what does Jesus do? He goes to Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Now Jesus is fighting.
Amen.
Not fighting as deity. He's fighting the devil as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. It would be unfair, Brother Skip, for him to fight the devil as deity, as God, and then tell you, fight the devil the way I fought him. There ain't no way I can do that, Lord. So what did he do? He fought the devil as a man filled with the Holy Ghost and allowed the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit to drop a rhema word. God help me, which way should I go? God help me. There's all kinds of scriptures. What should I say? And the sword of the Spirit drops it down and whew, beheads him. Oh, hallelujah, God. Watch, Hebrews 4:12, another Logos. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Logos. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Logos of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Most of us know verse 8, but do we know verse 7? So these men are bringing to you the Logos. Men can't give you rhema. God reserves that right for himself. Because James chapter 1 verse 18. Of my own will, when I decided that I wanted to get saved, and I went up to the altar and I grabbed a hold of the horns, and I sought God, and I sought God, and I sought God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. In the natural sense, my father of his own will, my earthly father, begat me. You mean to tell me my daddy would bring me into this world and father me without me giving him permission? Did any of you fathers here get permission from your children before you brought them into this sin-cursed hell? What? You mean you brought them into this earth because you and mother wanted a child? And you never even asked them if it was okay? This is the way I look at God. I had just as much choice to choose God as I had to choose being the son of Don and Betty Reagan. Chew on that for a while, devil. Of his own will begat to bring forth from the womb.
That's it.
Give birth to. Produce. So God procreated from the womb. What womb? his own will, begat he us with the Logos of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Logos. An engrafted is inborn, implanted by nature, implanted by others' instruction. Implanted by nature, implanted by others' instruction. Well, who instructed me? It's in my DNA. Somehow when my daddy deposited that part of himself into my mother, and their chromosomes come together, 23 from my father, 23 from my mother, and I started forming in the backbone, and then I started taking shape and depositing. Every bit of my DNA is in every part of my body. You know yourself, Lord have mercy. They have solved many, many cases of people that have been in prison for years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and by DNA, they went and found out here was some evidence that years ago they didn't have DNA. The seals hadn't been opened. Somebody be in prison for 20 years and yet they had this little bit of evidence and they found out DNA and they matched it to this DNA and you know what they found out? That man was innocent all along. Lord have mercy. Let me tell you something. The devil locked us up. He locked us up under condemnation, but the seals have come open and what did it do? We matched our spiritual DNA and it didn't match to the devil. It don't match to demons. It don't match to sin. But God found a match, Christ the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Then what did it do? God said, let them go free. Let them out of that prison of condemnation. Oh, glory be to God. Let them go free. Don't you see, friend, what the message of invisible union done? The judge is right there. And the judge is anointing his prophet to tell the people, you are free. Married to the virtuous Son of God. You are sinless, he said. Why? The seals come open. And the DNA that was on the case don't match yours. I seen a picture of a guy just a couple of weeks ago that had been in prison for 22 years under the charge of raping a woman. They had this evidence they kept in boxes for years and years when they tried him many years ago. But once they'd done the DNA, they found out this guy was innocent. Of course, they robbed him of his name and robbed him of many other things, and they told him they're sorry, which didn't help much. I would to God some of you could realize tonight that old devil's trying to run your DNA back to the flesh and say you done this and you done that and you messed up and you ain't no count and you ain't no good. All you need the judge to come down and reopen the case for you. Amen. Hey, we need him to come down and open our sight and help us to see that don't match the DNA of your soul. That's the DNA of your body. That's the DNA of that old man. That ain't your soul. You're innocent. You're cleared. Walk out of this prison. Walk out of these shackles. You are free. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save yourselves. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let me close with this one. For if any be a hearer of the word, Logos, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So he looks in that, and then James goes on to say, he turns and walks away and forgets what manner of man he is. You see, hearing the Logos, it can do that to you. That's why Jesus used it in the parable in Matthew 13. A A seer goes forth, a sower rather, to sow the seed. What's he sowing? Logos. So it comes here, it comes there. Some of it goes among the thorns. The thorns grow up and choke the Logos. Some goes among the stony places. There's not much earth, no root in himself. What will it do? The Logos will shoot up and it'll grow for a while, and it dies out. But he that sowed seed on the good ground, are they, when hearing the word, receive it, and they act on it, and they've got root within themselves. What kind of root is it? Root in the offspring of David, of course, bright morning star. But they not only receive Logos, they receive the breath of God to quicken it, and they become a rhema word themselves. You see, we not only need rhema words, we are one. Hang tight with me now. If you don't see it already, one of these days it'll hit you. Your new birth was simply the rhema of God quickening you into a state of life. When Paul says you were dead in trespasses and sins in your lives, the Greek word there is carcasses. Carcasses and tombs. We were carcasses and tombs. But the Spirit of God quickened us. And we become alive.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why the things come and go through the world, and my people get all tore up about this and that and the other, and they're marching and protesting and whatever more, and we think, come on folks, grow up. I read this week where they're handing out coloring books and teddy bears for those who lost the election. I personally thought it was very fitting for babies. Coloring books. Going to colleges and handing out coloring books and teddy bears to help people cope with Hillary not being the president. But Donnie, who'd you vote for? I ain't never voted in my life. Don't you believe in election? I sure do. I've been preaching on it for months. Thank God. Can you imagine? You need to sit down and color because your party didn't win the election. I read before the election that doctors was warning people that elections can cause heart attacks, high blood pressure attacks, and strokes. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. People get that caught up in this world? And I thought, what's the matter with them? And then I thought, no, it ain't them. It's you. What's the matter with you? And I answered myself. Yes, I talk to myself when I want a sane, sensible conversation. And I realized, I am not of this world. I'm not looking for a president or a vice president. I'm looking for the King. And I'm just here abiding my time till I get my last rhema word from God.
Amen.
Amen. My. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. As I've sat today and studied, Lord Jesus, oh God, my heart has just been about to beat out of my chest looking at these things. I thank you, my Father. Maybe all these people that I've preached to tonight, maybe they already knew it. Maybe I just preached it for me, but I'm so glad you had me to preach it for me if it was for me only. I thank you. I believe you love me that much. You'd have a preacher to study and labor and preach a whole sermon just for me if I need it. I thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray, dear God, you would help us. No wonder the prophet would say, before the foundation of the world, God spoke your word, your life, into existence. Praise God, your word. Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the doctrines. I thank you for the do's and the don'ts. I thank you for sanctification. I thank you for all the boundaries that are set by the message. And we walk by that in a Logos pattern every day. But I thank you, Lord, when I get down or distressed or sick in my body or something, Lord. And you see I need something quickened to me. You take one of them same scriptures that I know by heart. And all of a sudden you just energize it. And you make it a rhema word. Praise God. I love you, Father. Thank you. Oh, Lord Jesus. If there's any tonight, their old back life is still haunting them, Father. And they just can't believe that you'd forgive them. I pray you'd stand before them tonight, Lord, and make yourself real to them in that sense of revelation. Help them to see the DNA of that crime cannot be chased to them. And they can be released from that prison of guilt. Grant it, Lord. I don't believe you want your children to walk around in condemnation and fear. Oh, the world's in a terrible shape. In one way, Lord, our country has never been where it's at today. People are filled with such hate and such envy and strife. And they're just all upset and all tore up. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Our hope is not in politics. I got to be honest, Lord. I'm glad Hillary didn't win. But I can't say I'm glad Trump did. So I guess I'm kind of weird in the way I look at it. Because to me, neither one of them is the real kind of leader that we need. But it's the kind of leaders that we have in this day. Because it's a reflection of the people. And we know what happened that way in the children of Israel. That the condition of the people, Saul was a perfect fit for the first king. He was the epitome of the rebellion of the people themselves. Time it goes to the second king, then you get a man after your own heart because they become mellowed now. So you give them a king that matches their attitude. The reason America's leaders are so rotten is because America's rotten. They wouldn't need an Abraham Lincoln, a Thomas Jefferson, a George Washington. They'd never even vote for him. So the leaders are a reflection of the people themselves. Then do you mind, sir, if I go on to say, the bride's leader is a reflection of who she is. That's you, Lord. That's you. Our leader, the King, the Almighty, is a reflection of who we are. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you tonight, Father. We worship you, Lord God. Praise God. Praise God. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. But we know the Scripture tells us that men love darkness rather than light. So they did not comprehend it. And the Scripture goes on to say, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness. May I update that for you? There was a man sent from God whose name was William Branham. He was not that light, but he was sent to restore that light back in the evening time to the apostolic children. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad you can receive that word? Praise be to God. That little logos inside of your soul. There it lay without life, not quickened. And the Spirit of God quickened it like that little eagle. And he began to look up into the heavens, and the Brother Branham said he saw something in her like he wanted to be himself. Don't you see that's what it is about you? Don't settle to be like a preacher. Don't settle to be like a deacon or a trustee. The image you want to be like is Jesus, not men. Men will fail you, but him. So you look up into that image, and it gives you the energy and the strength to fly to the barnyard of Laodicea. It's that image that's projected to you, that supernatural force that'll pull you off of this earth one day. And John said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Praise God. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. No wonder in the seals the prophet said, I no longer call you church, but I'll call you Hava, bride. Bride. We were death, we were darkness, but now we are life. Your life. Praise God. We are not only alive, but we are life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. I bless your name, Lord God. I worship you tonight for the evening light. I worship you, my God, my King. You have illuminated my soul. I thank you, Lord, this journey is not getting weary and boresome. It's getting sweeter as the days go by. Amen. All these years I've served you. All these years, Lord, I've been preaching since just an 18-year-old boy. And yet, Lord, hallelujah, your word is more real to me tonight than it's ever been. As I said today, Lord, I thought I was going to have to tell you like the black sister did. Jesus, you're going to have to back off. You're going to hurt me if you don't, Lord. Your revelation coming like an open door in a flood. I thank you that it's that way, Lord. I thank you that we don't go to church hungry and leave even hungrier. I thank you, Lord, we come to the house of God. We may come hungry, but Lord, we have to take wagon load after wagon load out with us because you give us so much of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in a world that's starving to death and there's a famine in the word of God. And yet we come to the house of God and feast on a 7-course meal, for all 7 seals are opened and revealed. Thank you, Lord. Not only that, but God, we can come and worship and feel your presence and see your living manifestation, oh God, among us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I worship you, my God. Let's just worship him together a little bit. Can we? Hey, sing something for us. Let's just worship him a little. Oh, my, before we go. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, children, if you could ever see it, oh my, if you could ever see it, if it can strike your heart and become a rhema word to you, when your word becomes a rhema word in your heart, the fear of you getting away from God and back, oh, brother Donnie, won't that make me sinful? If you got the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to make you sinful. Oh, preach an election will throw people in sin, not if they're hearing the truth. What I'm preaching to you ain't going to throw you in sin. It's going to throw in a body change. Praise the Lord. If you're an election makes you sin, you ain't saved. It don't make you want to sin, brother. It makes you want to love him so much. For his mercy and his grace is given to you. Praise God. Let's just worship him together, can we, before we go? Oh, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. My God, I bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship him together now, saints. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Who am I? Let's sing it now. Jesus. Oh, this answer I'm beginning to know just why He'd ever love me so. That to an old rugged cross He'd go. For who am I? Thank you, Lord. Then I'm reminded of His Logos. I'll leave you never if you. Understand, Brother Branham read the same book of Romans that Martin Luther read. When Martin Luther would take the thongs of leather and go to his closet to pray and would whip himself and call himself names and whip his legs and whip his arms until blood would come out of his body trying to find peace with God. And then a little bit of light struck Romans. And Luther began to see the just shall live by faith. But that wouldn't give you rapture and faith. So what did God do? God opened a whole big ray of light on justification. Not like Luther preached, but like Elijah preached. So He said, not justification like under Luther, but justified, you never did it in the first place. That's why we needed an attorney. To go in and get the evidence and present the evidence. Didn't you see why the attorney himself had to come down? Amen. Look at the order of the sermons. Look at the order of the sermons that come in 1963. And look down here, Christ revealed in His own, or Christ the mystery of God revealed. And then look at the token time. Look at all of that coming into view. What is it? It's the judge himself. And he's coming to take the case, the evidence, all that into the presence of God. And to help you and I to see. That was to the old man. Your sins are forgiven. Think of it, friends. We will get up one morning as mortals. We will brush our teeth, comb our hair, put our clothes on. You'll go to your job. Some of you will go to college. Some of you will do this and that and other. You may be sick in your body. You may be down in your spirit, weary, whatever more. And this word is so perfect that God is having preached in this age. In one moment of time, you're standing here immortal. In the next moment, you are immortal. The gray hair will go out of your head there. If your hair's all gone, it'll all come back. And where you got dentures, your real teeth will come back. And your sinew and your bones and your muscle and all the wrinkles will be gone. And in a moment, this word is producing this in us now. The mechanics is being laid in you. And the last rhema word from God, your last revelation as a mortal, Brother Jim, will be changed. and a sweep. A sweep will go over you. Why? A sweep found you. She was in the house looking for the coin. Sweeping. Those who's going to feel the sweep are those who felt the swept. You don't like to be swept around. Dust made all around you. Make them get the mess straightened out of your life. You ain't going to no sweeping glory. Amen. And the sweep will come over you, and all of a sudden you're changing. You stand someone sitting there by you. Oh my Lord. There's Brother Branham. There's Mama. There's Grandpa. There's Brother Branham said, you look at him and you know it won't be long. Now, I don't mind telling you. Some of y'all believe in ghosts. Some of you don't believe in ghosts. I've felt enough of them and seen enough of them. You believe what you want to believe. But there's one ghost I emphasize. Holy Ghost. And I don't mind telling you. Me seeing people, I've dealt with the supernatural enough in my life. It scares me when I see supernatural. I'm going to have to be changed if the dead go to appear in my bedroom. Now, maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but I'm going to need a change. I'm going to need a change. And you know what? To me, that'll be one of the things that'll push us over the ebb of time. When we see our love. There's Brother D.R. There's Brother so-and-so. There's the quote Brother M. said. There's Brother so-and-so. And you know it won't be long. You imagine little 4- and 5-year-old kids just standing here tonight. You old people, we think of the change going back. They're going to grow up.
Amen.
3 and 4, our kids, we ain't going to leave them behind. We're taking them with us. 3 and 4-year-old kids, babies, whatever more. And all of a sudden, wham, there they go from a 2-month-old baby to an 18 or 20-year-old kid. You 70-year-olds are going back in a moment of time all over the earth, on every continent, in every nation where the bride is. It'll happen. They're going to receive a rhema word from God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Before one bomb ever falls from Russia, we'll be gone. Amen. I don't care how many friendships Trump tries to make with Putin and whatever more they do, they'll never stop prophecy. Remember, I stood here and told you months and months ago, if Hillary was the one to be president, nobody could stop her. And if she wasn't supposed to be president, nobody could put her in. Remember that? Remember what I also said after that? If that's so with prophecy on her side, if you're the bride, tell me who can stop you. Ain't nobody can stop you, not even your stinking self. God will save you in spite of you. God will rapture you in spite of you. Oh my, let's give him a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love him, children, with all your heart? Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go more than anything in this world? Praise God. Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land?